Thanks for joining us for the Executive Series. I'm joined by Patrick Hodgins, who is the Managing Director and Portfolio Manager at Firetrail Investments. Patrick, it's great to talk to you.
You too, thanks for that.
Now, Firetrail is only recently formed, but the DNA of the organisation, if you like, it goes back quite a long way. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Sure, yeah, so Firetrail is a boutique Australian equities manager, and we effectively launched or founded in March of this year. But the key point is it's a team of 11, and we've been together as a team for the best part of a decade. So on the Absolute Return Fund, for example, both myself and James Miller have worked together at the previous job for over 10 years. So it is a type team that's been working for a number of years together.
Now, you mentioned the Absolute Return Fund. For people who aren't familiar with that concept, that's your investment that performs when the market's moving in either direction, up or down?
Yeah, exactly right. So a market neutral fund, really, well, most market neutral funds, but particularly the Firetrail market neutral fund, is all about eliminating the net equity exposure from the underlying fund. So whether the equity market's up 20%, but more importantly, when it's down 20%, the market direction doesn't make any difference to the fund. It's all about the stocks we buy, as long as they outperform the stocks we've short, the fund will deliver, you know, significantly higher returns than cash.
Now, in terms of the strategy that you're applying to the long and short positions, tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, so everything we do is fundamentally driven. So on the long side, it's deep dive research. A typical research program for a stock we want to take as an overweight position is around 3 months. And we have around 40 stocks at any point in time that we think will outperform. On the shorting side, we're very different to most others, where most others would use derivatives like share price index futures or short companies because they're expensive, so shorting it from a valuation standpoint. We steer clear of all that. All of our shorting has to be earnings-based. So if we expect a company to have disappointing earnings, to have an earnings downgrade, we're happy to short that company. So it's very much earnings-driven, because all the research we've done over the years is share prices follow earnings. So we go long for stocks on valuation because we think they'll outperform over a three-year view, and we short stocks because of earnings downgrades.
So obviously, you know, as you mentioned, you're talking about high levels of conviction that you have in relation to these trades. Give us a sense of some of the trades that you've made recently.
Yeah, so one stock we're overweight and have been overweight for a while is Qantas, the domestic airline carrier. When we're looking at stocks to go overweight, we always talk about the three things that matter, or what is the investment thesis to own that company and to give us confidence that it'll outperform. Now, there's always two or three things, but I'll concentrate on one today. So the main thing that matters for Qantas is rational competitive behaviour in the domestic market between Qantas and Virgin. And if you cast your mind back to 2004, where Virgin just started, it really fought a really hard battle with Qantas to increase its market share from zero up to 35%. And how it did that was injected a lot of planes to the market, reduced the ticket prices, and that was obviously very difficult for Qantas. But in 2014, they moved away from, they had enough market share and they wanted to sort of build a profitable business. This is Virgin now. And what they did is they started taking planes out of the market. So less seats to sell, less supply, increased demand. Ticket prices went up, and as a result, profit was re-injected back into the business. When we did research on Qantas, that's what we uncovered in 2014. And where we are today, Qantas is still trading at a 40% discount to the market, and we believe there's still strong earnings growth in that company. So that's a typical company we would go overweight, and that's the type of research we would do.
On the other side of the ledger, a shorting strategy can often be far more challenging.
Yep.
How do you go about executing something along
those
lines?
Yeah, I mean, you are right. So shorting is more challenging, and in some circumstances, it can be more risky as well. So when we're shorting, it's more about what we don't short than what we do short. So we never short a company because, hey, it looks expensive, because, say, Domino's Pizza, a great company, but it has looked expensive for a number of years. And the only reason it falls, or would fall, or has fallen, is because it's had earnings downgrades. So we don't short because of valuation. We don't short and follow the crowd on themes as well. So a lot of the market was shorting companies because Amazon was coming to town. So we're shorting JB Hi-Fi, Supercheap, Auto, Harvey Norman. But most of those companies, yes, they fell initially, but they've all rallied substantially after that, because the Amazon effect is coming, but it's not an issue until 2021. So when we short, it has to be earnings related, and it has to be relatively short-term earnings related. So one example we look at is if the raw material of the underlying company has increased and they're not able to pass that increased raw material costs onto the end investor or the end consumer. So an example we shorted recently was Asaleo, which makes tissue paper in the Australian market. Sorbent is their main brand. Tissues are made from pulp, being the raw material. Pulp prices rallied over 25% in the past 12 months. But at the same time, their main competitor, Quilton, was obviously winning market share and reducing the prices of their tissue paper. So Asaleo was getting higher costs but couldn't pass it on to the end consumer. So as a result of that higher cost, lower prices, profit margins fell and profits fell. So we short companies like that because of earnings downgrade. So the earnings fell 40% and the share price fell 50%. We closed that out and then recycled the capital to the next opportunity.
So with those two strategies, the long and the short side by side, how do you go about executing that?
Yeah, so effectively we're in the market on a daily basis. We talk to around 40 odd brokers and we're really just executing as quietly and anonymously as we can, because if the whole market knew that we needed to buy 10 million Qantas shares, obviously excess demand over supply, that share price goes up. And on the same side of the coin, if they knew that we were selling or shorting Asaleo, the market would preempt that. So we do it as quietly and as anonymously as we can across a number of brokers.
So how do you think that this sort of strategy that you have fits into the average investor's portfolio?
Yeah, I mean, that's always a good question. I mean, everyone needs to make their own decision on that. But for me personally and for my team, it really is for investors who want significantly above the cash rate but don't want the daily volatility of the Aussie equity market or the global equity market, and have a 3 to 5 year time frame. So if you want a return significantly above the cash rate, and our fund has delivered around 9% above the cash rate in its history, but don't want the daily volatility of the equity markets, and you've got 3 years plus, that's a typical investment investor.
Now, you're about to launch the offer for the Absolute Return Fund. Tell us about the key dates for that fund.
Yeah, so it actually launches on the 24th of September and it's open until the 19th of October this year. And we expect it to go live on the ASX, launches on the 31st of October.
Patrick, good luck with the offer and it's been a pleasure talking to you.
You too. Thanks, Tom.
And thanks for joining us for the Executive Series.